Thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Zaini. We're looking at some of the developments when it comes to the e-commerce world and, of course, digital solutions world. Joining me on set right now is Emmanuel Chavarot, the CEO of Intrepid. Emma, thanks for taking the time to speak with us. I want to take the time to understand a little bit better what is Intrepid all about. I'm sure your partners are very familiar with you, but the many folks out there might not necessarily be familiar with what you do, the solutions that you bring to the market. So perhaps walk through us in terms of the solutions that you are bringing to the market and the kind of partners that you have right now.
Yeah, sure. So nice to inviting me today. So I'm very happy to tell you more about Intrepid. So we are I'm managing the business of Intrepid in Malaysia, and we are part of Intrepid Asia Group, which is a regional solution for e-commerce brands. So what we do is we offer to brands who want to develop on a platform like Shopee, Lazada, and so on, support when it comes to store management, e-commerce store management, marketing solution when it comes to digital marketing, and data solution. Maybe I can tell you a little bit more on what is an e-commerce store management solution.
Yes, please. Yeah, go ahead.
For instance, when a brand wants to sell more on a store on the platform, they need to have strong commercial strategy and execution, and this is what we help them to. So we are kind of an extension of their team. It means we do the commercial strategy for the brands online, but also manage execution, like the visual development, the chat answer, fulfillment. This is all the solution we can provide to the brand's partner. And we have another pillar, which is marketing digital solution. So this is how you drive more traffic to your store. Online traffic on the platform per se, on e-commerce platform, or also on the digital channel.
I'm assuming this is omni-channel, omni-platform, or
yes.
Do you feel that you have a specific partner on an e-commerce platform that you're working more over the others?
No, I think we are really omni-channel, and either focusing on e-commerce platform like Lazada or Shopee, but also developing into social commerce when it goes to live stream or to TikTok also platform. So we are really omni-channel in a way.
When we look at the demographics of people shopping online, I would assume, and please correct my assumptions or my thesis, I suppose, that those on TikTok are highly engaging and highly involved in the kind of social commerce developments that's currently happening there. But is their wallet size too small for companies to make money out of consumers on TikTok? As opposed to consumers on, say, Shopee or Lazada. Mm-hmm. Is this thesis correct?
I think it's, I mean, at the end, what is true is that it can be a different customer profile. So either in terms of demographic, age group, or also, as you said, maybe a wallet size. After you really have, it depends also of your positioning. So some brands, they can really have a special offer and assortment or product to offer to this specific demographic on TikTok, like when it comes to fashion or FMCG or beauty. It's all about like a more, I would say, channel strategy, depending on either you go more on the traditional e-commerce platform or on TikTok or even offline, you offer a different, type of product that suits the customer which is on this channel.
How do you craft strategies for your partners or your clients? Do you feel that there's a lot of beta testing, A-B testing, or do you think that these kind of industries A and B do well on, say, Lazada, industry C and D do well on social commerce and so on?
So when it comes to strategy, I think we look at two parts. One is historical or data or trends. I think it's, for instance, if you look at historical data, what sells, what works during the season, if you have seasonality or... So I think we look at performance, past performance, and also we look at the trends. Like, let's say, okay, if and demographics, like who is the customer going in this platform? And I think one of our core services also is to offer data solutions. So it's insight on the category, for the brands to understand more about their category or their competitor. So based on those, it's where we can recommend a strong solution. After to what you say, what is true and what I personally really like with e-commerce is a lot of test and learn. We are all deeply entrepreneur, like when it comes to e-commerce platform, and we make an assumption based on data and trends, but also it's A-B testing, and this is really what works. And e-commerce is really about test and learn. So maybe one day we do, a special product launch or a special promotion, and we see if it works, then we amplify. If it doesn't work, we want to get learning, and we go to the next level. I think it's really, test and learn and keep growing the business.
Maybe you can walk through some of your partners or the clients that you're working with and the kind of size they are and what kind of solutions are they adopting, what works for them and what doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I think for some of our partners, they are like leading brands in FMCG or in electronics, like maybe in a personal care category. And
and they carry a lot of brands within their portfolio.
Yes, yes. So they are already very strong brands, known offline, I would say, and they want to develop online. So the way we work with them is really we set up sales target, commercial strategy, and commercial planning. And then we manage all the execution, and I think we have very good results for some of our brands. Their sales grow 2 times or 3 times, depending on the case, I would say. But it's really where we work hand to hand to really understand what worked for them. And one thing beside commercial, we really look at sharp marketing strategy,
like to sharp.
Good marketing strategy. Strategy.
Yeah.
To drive more traffic to their store, and also to make their product searchable on the platform. For instance, like this, the customer on the platform can discover their product.
Has there been a case where they tried something so new, novel, funky, edgy, and it has failed spectacularly, and all of you have taken a lot of lessons from it, and you're saying to your team, okay, maybe not do that again. Mm-hmm. Has that happened before?
Yeah, it can happen. I think, for instance, I have in mind one brand with, okay, I will launch only online. Mm. And then for some reason, like let's say maybe awareness or customer readiness also, it didn't work as we planned, but then we learned from it, and maybe we also built stronger marketing.
Does that
strategy scare,
say, the chief marketing officer or the similar role there? Or does this invigorate that kind of behavior where it's okay, let's do more edgy stuff. That one has failed, that's fine. Let's do other stuff. What is the reaction from that?
I think overall, I would say it depends. It's hard
to generalize.
Mm. But from my experience working with different brands, it depends on the brand mindset. Some would be more entrepreneur and ready to take more risk and maybe to fail, but then to learn from it and to find other solutions to grow their business.
Okay.
So it's really entrepreneur way, still entrepreneur way, I would say.
Yes. Test and learn. Based on the partners that you have, do you feel that the mood right now, 2023 onwards, it's post-pandemic, embracing AI, embracing automation and many more, do you feel that brands are more amenable or more open to trying out new things or new approaches, or are they more reserved, conservative, and go the tried and tested way? It has not failed before. It might not be 3x, 4x, 10x, but it has never failed. Let's do that. What is the mood like when it comes to your partners or the clients that you're working right now?
I think this year is a very interesting year because we are post-pandemic. So I think during the pandemic, clearly it was a big boom for the e-commerce industry and online industry. Now we go more to a normalized way where you have offline, online opening up, and it's opportunity for omnichannel. Mm. When you really can do some event to drive also awareness for online. And it means when it comes to e-commerce and to our brand's partner, it means how we can differentiate the offer or really understand what offer we can do online, for instance, when it comes to a product launch or assortment. But also it's where the company has to have strong strategy when it comes to e-commerce, meaning for instance, where data play a key role, like understanding more in depth how is a category trend, what works, what people are searching for, also like how is my competitor doing. So it's much more in-depth understanding of the category overall and having a strong commercial and marketing strategy.
We'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Intrepid. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Emmanuel Chavarot, the CEO of Intrepid. We're looking at retail as a consumer play, but more importantly, I, at least in my view, I want to test a thesis with you here. It is psychology more than anything. And because of this, you have these science, data science behind you, you have automation, you have omni-channel play, you have a lot of people you know, sharing the ideas and all that. But what you're trying to do is trying to create a feeling of enjoyment or association with the brand. How do you match science, hard data, and automation and everything else with that whole consumer that is, you know, I see the brand online and I want to try it out physical. How do you translate that into purchase behavior or recurring purchase behavior for that matter?
I think it's really starting first on customer. I mean, who is our consumer and consumer target, understanding the profile. And then on our side, it's like analyzing the data on like how the category is doing, what are the key trends, and matching these trends to the consumer profile. It's really like how we make the best of both. And after, it's to derive in the different like either product offer or into the marketing to make sure like we target the right customer. Like maybe if we know people are living in the cities, then it's how we can target people living in the cities and broad Malaysia, for instance. Or it's really really how to always link any execution to the anchor point of who is our customer in a way.
And of course, you know, consumer purchase behavior is very much directly linked to culture. And you know, you look at a few markets within Southeast Asia. Cultures, while we are all, you know, somewhat similar in some ways, we are very different in many ways. How do you marry that kind of idea of different cultures bring about different consumer behavior, and then you impress upon your brands and your clients, your partners? You know, for this, it might work in Malaysia, and that might not work there, or it might work differently in, say, Philippines or many more. How do you marry that whole differences of culture within Southeast Asia?
I think it will follow also the pattern of overall retail, right? I mean, whatever is online, you can also get learnings from offline. So it's all about like understanding the customers, the tradition, the key season. Like for instance, e-commerce is very dynamic. Like let's say now in Malaysia, it's about Raya time and coming Raya time and everything. So it's all about how to address good needs to the customer. So it's very flexible, I would say, and adapting of the season, of the demand of the of the demand of the consumer.
But do you have patience when it comes to the brands working with you, or do you think that the brands are very insistent on growing sales as fast as possible? Where is the slack when it comes to experimentation, understanding consumer behavior versus chasing bottom line?
It's a very good question.
Thank you.
No, but it's really my day-to-day, I would say. Like we have, I would say maybe a blank answer, but it depends on the brand. But what is true is maybe before...
It's always depend on the brand.
That's hard to do a generic answer. But what I could see is before, it was really like during pandemic time, for instance, some brands before pandemic knew about e-commerce, but it was not very strategic for them. And with pandemic, the e-commerce and online sales really become strategic. And it's where they gain a lot of knowledge and realize, okay, now I can tap different channel, offline, online, and they really gain knowledge. Now for this year, we see like balance between offline and online, where brands really want to grow, but not at all mean. I mean, like they are conscious also about their investment. They won't go crazy. They want to build a sustainable business. And I think it's
also systemic maybe as well, to create some sort of systems within themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think it's really the long-term vision on how you build a sustainable in terms of investment, but also how you build also competency internally, or you partner with the right partner like Intrepid, for instance. So it's really how to build the ecosystem together on the long run, not on just short term, make my sales. Okay, it's good for 1 month, 2 months, but after... Yeah, exactly. So there would be more long-term view, I would say.
Another thesis I want to test with you, you know, in terms of whether or not my understanding is updated or not. Brands are no longer new to omnichannel. They are no longer unfamiliar to online, offline, and the strategies and the mix resulting from it. Is it is it fair for us to say that brands are now familiar and they now know what they want from omnichannel marketing?
Yeah, it's a fair point, and I think it's also their needs goes to the next level, I would say.
So maybe that's before, what I'm trying to get at, yeah.
Yeah, before they were like, okay, I tried to e-commerce, they have someone managing the organization e-commerce, they sell a little bit and they see they can grow. And now they are ready to put more investment behind, like in terms of team, in terms of system, like how they can integrate maybe their fulfillment system or whatever systems they need. They are more looking at data solution also, like on category behavior, customer behavior, to know much more in depth what's happening. Like this, they can craft much more stronger business and strategy there.
Okay, fantastic. One more short break before continue on with Intrepid. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Emma Chavarro, the CEO of Intrepid. Let's look at internally your own company and your own people, away from markets, particularly retail market, away from your clients and partners. I know you love them, but let's look at the company itself. To what extent are you automating some of the actions and activities? And to what extent do you have to have high human involvement? And how do you have this mix within your team or within your company in terms of trying to optimize the solutions for your business?
I think so. In Intrepid, we have our own tech team who develop solutions in different aspects of our business. I think the philosophy here is whatever we can do with automatization to help and support the team to be more performant and provide a better customer experience is really our starting point. I can share maybe some example. For instance, like we have EOMS specific for Intrepid, like to integrate the order, which help us to have lifetime, like we know exactly what are the order coming from the different platform, and that's very important for us when it comes to stock and to make sure when we have big campaign, we have it also. So this will be more for the fulfillment part, but we have also like when it comes to marketing, we are managing budget from our brands partner where we spend their marketing budget on search keywords like for people to be able to find them on the platform. And it can be manual, like we can have someone looking at the spend on an hourly basis, but we develop a tool to support the team, like it's an automatic tool. We have automatization of the budget spend and we can set up the system to say, okay, when during the day you want to spend the different investment. And I think this is really what we see when it comes to capability is really together with the team. I mean, it's how innovation and system can support the teamwork. And when it comes to marketing, for instance, after our marketing team can spend time to analyze the performance and bring value rather than focusing only on execution.
Do you feel that you need a lot of still eyeballing in terms of the automation process because the output is only as good as the input. So do you feel that the ability for you to need to look at the output is still there and still needed? Or it's basically everything is automated and you don't even have to look at it?
Yeah, no, it's still, because we are always learning, so it's still, we want the team to still look at the performance and the output and also to provide solution or insight of how we can do better in our tool because we are very agile and depending on the need, we can adjust. Mm. I think also what is really core for us is even if we are more into the tech industry and we have our tech team to develop solution, it's really still very strongly human. I mean, what makes us also quite special is our team, I would say.
Which is my point. Do you need more psychologists, psychiatrists, social studies people in the organization? As much as you need the tech team, which is extremely crucial, what balance are you looking at right now?
I think what we try is, clearly the team is what makes our business. It's really with our team, like for instance, from commercial, marketing, support team on finance, HR and so on. It's really what makes us a strong company. And after, it's how we integrate the tech side together. So it's really both of them, I would say.
Do you feel that your industry, while crucial currently, might not necessarily be relevant in the near future the moment your partners are also leveling up on their omnichannel marketing platform and solutions partner? Or do you feel that this industry still has a bright future for a company like Intrepid to survive on?
Yeah, I think it's a matter of really evolution. I think clearly this industry is evolving fast, and it's up to us to adapt and to adjust and to innovate. So clearly we won't just sit on what we have built so far, but it we are always innovating and finding solutions. So for instance, that's why in terms of development, we invest a lot in terms of data and dashboard on the cat to be able to provide more deeper insight on competitor and trends, because we think it's really one of the future. But also we capture new channel, like for instance, social commerce or TikTok is emerging since a few years or months now.
Yeah.
So we also adjust our services and solution. So innovation is really what will make us stay for long term. And I think so now Intrepid is in all Southeast Asia, but when you benchmark digital or online business in China or US, you can see they have they are a bit one step behind, above, sorry. And it's what also give us insight or, you know, like you can predict a bit what will be the future. In
Final question, Emma. Live shopping, what's the future there?
I think it's trending very, very, very well. So we see big trends on like all the live stream. Clearly, TikTok is one of the big platforms developing very fast.
Clearly. Sometimes I scroll and I stay there. I'm not, I have no plans to buy.
It's a bit addictive, right?
It is. And, you know, things that I will never buy. You know what I mean? Like like a machine for cars or something like that. But I still watch it. It's a bizarre moment for me.
No, it's true. It's very addictive, but I think it's also the big trend now on how you make the experience, right? It's not you scrolling and seeing picture, but it's really how you interact with as a.
And it's live questions. It's unbelievable.
People are
asking, okay, what about that button? Show me, that kind of thing, and the person responds, you know.
Yeah.
So this high interactivity. My question is, okay, while I would imagine it has great engagement. Does that translate to sale, at least from your experience?
Yeah. I think it's still the beginning, but we see some brands really gaining very good traction on those platforms and with the live stream. So clearly there is a big opportunity there. And for instance, for us as a company, we also offer services to match this. The key things here is really the live stream and, you know, to have those
real
host and
genuine.
And and the genuine content and very related to the final customer, I would say.
Fantastic.
But it works. I can.
You can bear testament to
that. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Final word before we conclude our conversation.
No, I think, I would say e-commerce is really the world of tomorrow. It's only the beginning, I would say, and us, Intrepid, as a company, we are really here to unlock with our partner and the platform the future of online purchase.
That was Emmanuel Chamorro, the CEO of Intrepid. Learn more about their company, just Google them. Also, you can learn more about the kind of resources that can be found here on Astro Awani. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.